Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Hello and welcome back to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. My producer Gino Chi and I have had somewhat of an extended summer break, completely unplanned and completely not Gino's fault, but we're back today and hopefully it'll continue on a weekly basis. Lately, we've had a Jerusalem theme to our programs. We've covered the PCG booklets, Jerusalem in Prophecy, A Warm Friend of Israel, and The Way of Peace Restored Momentarily. We've had a slight transition to an ambassador theme, so we were having Jerusalem booklets and then booklets about ambassadorship. A Warm Friend of Israel and The Way of Peace Restored Momentarily are about Herbert W. Armstrong being an ambassador for world peace to the tiny nation of Israel specifically. But today's booklet is about Mr. Armstrong being an ambassador for world peace more generally, not just to Israel, but to the whole world. Today, we will cover Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury's booklet, Ambassador for World Peace. We'll start off with a pretty lengthy quote, but I believe it sets this up pretty perfectly. On Ambassador for World Peace, page 1. In the 1970s and 1980s, one private citizen was jetting around the world and meeting with hundreds of world leaders. He met presidents, prime ministers, kings, emperors, princes, legislators, ambassadors, generals, officers, mayors, judges, scientists, educators, magnates, and executives. He talked with heads of state and heads of government in their offices at their invitations. Who was this man? He wasn't a head of government. He wasn't even a government official. He wasn't a captain of industry. He wasn't even a businessman. He wasn't a billionaire or millionaire. He was a man named Herbert W. Armstrong. Mr. Armstrong was a man who actually gave up his business to follow what he read in the Bible. He followed God and lived for decades in poverty. He eventually led a church and a college. He did not seek to become a world traveler, a friend of prime ministers, an unofficial ambassador for world peace. Even if he had tried, he never could have achieved a fraction of what he ended up doing. What Mr. Armstrong did in the 1970s and 80s was nothing short of miraculous. That's Mr. Fleury writing. Mr. Armstrong started his ministry in 1934, preaching the good news of the coming kingdom of God to a handful of people in person and over the radio. But he saw beyond the borders of the state of Oregon. God revealed to him that this message must be delivered to the world. You can find that in Matthew 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You'll see this as a theme in the Ambassador for World Peace booklet. Mr. Armstrong visited world leaders as a witness. He did not expect every one of them to convert to be a member in the worldwide Church of God. He was not expecting them to start believing everything he did from a religious perspective. He was giving a message of hope to them so that they could pass that message on to the people in their nations. That way, all people around the world could have that message of hope. They could see the hope that lies beyond the suffering of the present day. It wasn't long before Mr. Armstrong broke through the borders of Oregon, delivering the gospel message to the Pacific Northwest region of the United States, and then to millions of people around the world by the 1960s and 1970s. But television, radio, and the printed word could only reach so far. Mr. Armstrong spoke directly to the people of the United States, Canada, England, and Australia through these mediums. But what about the Russians, Chinese, Japanese, Indians, and others? It wasn't as easy to reach these people. Not only did they speak a different language, but they also didn't have as much access to information. After praying earnestly about this conundrum, Mr. Armstrong received an answer from God on how to fulfill the Matthew 24, verse 14 prophecy of preaching God's truth to all nations. This is something that made Mr. Armstrong vastly different from every other preacher of his day, including Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, and others. These other televangelists certainly had a big following, but they weren't so focused on reaching the entire world. For those other preachers, reaching all of America or all of the English-speaking nations, or just reaching out to people who were already Christians, was plenty fine enough. Mr. Armstrong had a completely different motivation because of Matthew 24 and verse 14. Now, after Mr. Armstrong started praying about how to reach all nations, he started receiving all kinds of invitations to meet world leaders. Eventually, he realized why. To reach all nations, Mr. Armstrong realized he had to reach the national leaders first. These leaders controlled the communication in their countries. They would pass information from their meetings with Mr. Armstrong to their people. Let's marvel at a couple of examples of Mr. Armstrong's travels. At a banquet in Japan, four people, including a prince, gave speeches in Mr. Armstrong's honor. In a room full of the most influential people in Japan, Mr. Armstrong was the keynote speaker. How could this happen? How could a Christian televangelist receive such a high honor from the non-Christian Japanese? This is something that was hard for me to even imagine when I read about it. That would be equivalent to someone from Europe receiving an invitation from our American president and four people from his cabinet getting up to give a speech in that person's honor. Again, this is a European. This is someone who's not even from America. And then the president saying how great of a person you are and what a great influential leader you are. Now, we've seen these things on the news. We've seen these things on TV. But could you imagine that happening to a religious figure? Especially someone who is not even of the same religion as you. Mr. Armstrong was a Christian speaking to the Japanese. A lot of them have Far Eastern beliefs. Definitely the vast majority of them are not Christians. And so to even try to imagine a scenario that is equivalent to this is very difficult. Another example, in India, Mr. Armstrong spoke to 100 of the most influential people in the nation. In his November 26, 1973 coworker letter, he wrote, "This time I spoke with power and authority until I wondered if I had spoken with such authority that many would be offended. But all comment afterward was very favorable, and I heard of no one being offended." Mr. Armstrong went on to describe his message as the strongest medicine ever to enter their ears. Another quote from him, "I told them bluntly, by authority of the Creator God, Creator of the people of India, that they were responsible for what they had just heard." He then made sure these leaders understood their responsibility to pass God's message on to the common people of India. There is no doubt that Mr. Armstrong received miraculous favor from God on each of these international visits. He met leaders of all different backgrounds, religions, customs, and cultures. The Ambassador for World Peace booklet lists over 250 leaders from 81 nations. From that booklet on page 4, Mr. Fleury writes, "When you talk to someone about God's way of life, and you express it the right way, they may get excited about it, but usually their mood sours when you begin to talk about the need to change. They don't like that part of the message. That is part of what made the way these leaders responded to Mr. Armstrong such a miracle." I'm Grant Turgeon. You're listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Trumpet Bookshelf. Today we're discussing Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury's booklet, Ambassador for World Peace. The ambassador in question is the late theologian and philanthropist Herbert W. Armstrong. Why were powerful national leaders desperate to speak with Mr. Armstrong? Remember, Mr. Armstrong was not inviting himself. He was not writing letters to these leaders, hoping that a few of them would open their doors to him. They were inviting him. That is absolutely incredible. Nations in this world are plagued by seemingly unsolvable problems, yet Mr. Armstrong offered real, specific, hope-filled solutions straight from the Bible. These leaders were blown away by Mr. Armstrong's description of the two trees in Genesis 2 and 3. He tied the cause of all world problems to the choice that Adam and Eve made to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life. Ever since, mankind has followed Satan instead of God. Imagine that. Mr. Armstrong told these people that the entire world was following Satan instead of God. And yet at the end of these hour-long speeches, in some cases, they would greet him with thunderous applause and standing ovations. How is that possible? How could he be so directly condemning the way of life that the vast majority of people in this world are living, and yet receive an applause in response? It had to have been a miracle, like we already mentioned. Mr. Armstrong explained to world leaders the blessings that come from obeying God's invisible spiritual law. From the Ambassador for World Peace booklet, on page 6, Mr. Fleury writes, "This law is invisible. You can't see it, but it is in operation right now. It is active and living. Whether or not you keep it has a huge impact. If you transgress it, you will have terror, unhappiness, and all kinds of problems in your personal life or nation. But if you keep this law the way God intended, it makes marriages, families, and colleges work. It brings peace. The law is alive and in motion now, and we are blessed according to how well we obey, and cursed if we disobey." Every human being has a choice to make between obeying God and living the abundant life, or suffering the effects of broken laws. The question we all have to ask ourselves is, will you choose the tree of life or the tree of death? That question is set out for us in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, which states, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live." This is probably the most basic principle in the Bible. Each day, every decision we make brings us closer to spiritual life or to spiritual death. Mr. Armstrong told the blunt truth in his meetings with world leaders. He told them that they were responsible for the people in their nations. So imagine that part of it too. Mr. Armstrong condemns the way of life that most people in the world live, and then he says, "You leaders are also responsible for the people in your nations. You're hearing a very special message today, but it's not enough just to hear it. You are responsible for then passing this message on to everyone else." And again, he was applauded for this incredible, blunt message that he gave. Think of it. Mr. Armstrong discussed biblical truth with world leaders, many of whom didn't believe the Bible. He told them of mankind being sentenced to 6,000 years cut off from God as a result of Adam and Eve's wrong choice. He described the grim realities of world problems and then revealed the glorious solution, Jesus Christ returning to earth to end all human suffering forever. Most of the leaders Mr. Armstrong talked to didn't share any of his religious beliefs, yet they were still inspired. Here's another quote from that coworker letter by Mr. Armstrong. In early 1971, when I was visiting New Delhi, India, Prime Minister Indira Gandhi took some 20 minutes of our meeting to tell me of the many thousands of East Pakistanis daily fleeing as refugees across the border into India. No earthly possessions except what they carried on their backs. No food, no money, no employment. India, already impoverished with millions of poor, needing to provide an additional 150 million jobs, had no way to take care of these refugees. Many were half-starved and starving, many diseased, their clothes in tatters. Now, East Pakistan became Bangladesh in 1971. Mr. Armstrong visited Bangladesh 2 years later, calling it the most impoverished country he had ever seen. The leaders Mr. Armstrong met with faced problems that are completely unsolvable by human beings alone. Take the problem just described. How can a leader deal with unchecked migration of the poor, starving, and diseased? What nation on earth could handle the sudden influx of millions of suffering people? How could these people be housed, fed, and healed seemingly overnight? These leaders were asking Mr. Armstrong for his advice. They were buckling under the weight of such massive problems. Such problems don't exist exclusively in third world countries. Here in America, slums and ghettos are a stain on every major city. Drug addiction and violence between gangs competing to supply the drugs are epidemics. The list of problems goes on and on. What about social and political division? America is on the brink of a second civil war. What can be done to not only improve some of these situations, but to eliminate these problems entirely? Human history is a sobering reminder that we are incapable of solving our own problems. Every form of human government has been tried, only to lead to failure. What option does that leave us? Now, there have been some great solutions proposed to various problems throughout history, but which of those solutions has completely eliminated any given problem? It may drastically reduce a problem, but it has not wiped it from existence. That's what we're talking about. We all want a future where poverty, illiteracy don't even exist anymore. So how is that possible? Is it even possible at all? That's the question that Mr. Armstrong was asking these leaders. And he was even painting a picture for them that made it clear that those problems soon would be eliminated. On page 11 of the Ambassador for World Peace booklet, Mr. Fleury writes, "Mankind has brought these issues upon itself, but God loves his creation. You can see God's love for those people by the fact that he sent Mr. Armstrong to them with the gospel message, giving them hope. God's kingdom is imminent, regardless of what those leaders do today." Now think about it. How would you respond if a world leader asked you for advice? What physical solution could you propose that would completely eliminate problems like illegal immigration, radical Islamic terrorism, disease, and violent crime? There is no physical solution. Again, you can propose different ideas that might reduce these problems, but you can't completely eliminate them, forever at least. In the short term, the future of the world is bleak. But in the long term, the future is filled with endless hope. Mankind is proving every day his utter helplessness apart from God. Once we have finally learned this lesson through painful experience, Jesus Christ will return and implement the only lasting solution, the eternal rule of the perfect government of God. Now on to page 35 of the Ambassador for World Peace booklet. Who was inspiring Mr. Armstrong to go to Bangladesh and India? Who would want to take the time to go to those two countries? In this case, it was somebody who wants to change India and then help India change Bangladesh. It was someone who wants to make these countries some of the most beautiful places on earth, filled with happy, loving people. Yes, Mr. Armstrong wanted to make these nations better. But even more importantly, God wants to improve these nations. God wants to make these people prosperous and happy for all eternity. And God was the one inspiring Mr. Armstrong to deliver that message to the leaders of those nations. Mr. Armstrong fulfilled the prophecy in Matthew 24, verse 14. He preached the gospel in all the world as a witness unto all nations. Today, the Philadelphia Church of God and Pastor General Gerald Flurry fulfill the prophecy in Revelation 10, verse 11. We prophesy again. Our message builds on the message of Mr. Armstrong. On page 37 of the Ambassador for World Peace booklet, Mr. Flurry writes, "Our labors have to reach out to the unbaptized, the baptized, and the Bangladeshi, ultimately to every person on earth. We need to show people the love of God." As the Ambassador for World Peace booklet makes clear, and as I already mentioned, most people who hear God's true message today won't respond. However, it is this message of hope that will get them through the troubling times ahead. Please listen in next week as we dive into Mr. Armstrong's greatest book, Mystery of the Ages. I'm Grant Turgeon, and this has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.